This is Morning Edition. I'm Eric Hodge.
I got fresh fish this morning, ladies. They are gilded with gold, and you may find a diamond in their mouth.
Jake Xerxes Fussell's family history plays a significant role in his musical output. The son of a folklorist, curator, and photographer spent his childhood listening to old bluesmen and Native American artists his father was recording. Fussell traveled from his native Georgia to California and Mississippi, winding up in Durham, where he now lives. Along the way, he learned and collected songs that show up on his new record, Out of Sight. Jake plays music in the gardens at Duke University next month and joins me now. Good morning, Jake.
Morning.
We're listening to the River St. Johns. You have a deep knowledge and love for songs that go back to the 19th and early 20th centuries. How do you discover these songs?
I get them from all kinds of sources. I look on YouTube a lot, and I read a lot of old songbooks, and I listen to a lot of old records. But sometimes I'll go to an archive, like the Southern Folklife Collection here in Chapel Hill, and I'll look through old records and files of musicians that I'm interested in and documentarians that I'm interested in. But they come from a number of places. It's always, I'm not really beholden to any particular type of media. It's all over the place, really.
How did your father's work play a role in your love for this music?
I grew up going around with him when he was doing all this folklore work throughout the 80s and 90s, early 2000s. I was fortunate, and along with my siblings, to get to ride along with him while he was photographing basket makers and potters and blacksmiths and people who trained coon hounds and stuff
wow.
like that. But music was a part of it too.
Oh, Michael was hardy, Michael was young. I was the step in the jig that he sprung. He had good looks, Lord, and soothing tongue. He wanted a girl with a fortune.
Michael Was Hardy has its origins in Ireland. These songs kind of appear in various versions and with different song titles. It seems like some of it is detective work.
Yeah, for sure. Some of it's detective work and some of it's like a patch job on my part. Like sometimes songs come in little fragments and there you can see that maybe there was like a narrative in there at some point. But by the time it's gotten to you, at least the version, it might be a fragment or a partial song. And then you have to tie it into a bigger family of songs. That's kind of the way that I tend to see a lot of traditional music that with which I'm faintly familiar. I can say, oh, this is part of this other family of songs, you know. So titles and stuff like that kind of become a little bit irrelevant compared to the bigger sort of family of songs. Now, there's some that are totally unique or they're singular in their own. They maybe were only documented once by this one person or whatever, and you don't have a bunch of different versions. Michael Was Hardy in particular, I don't know if it's been in American oral tradition at all, but I learned it from a YouTube video of this guy named Thomas McCarthy singing, which I just thought the melody and the story was really interesting, so I figured I'd give it a shot. But that's a little atypical for me. I don't play a lot of Irish music, even though I really love it.
You so completely inhabit these songs that the first time I saw you play them, I thought they might be originals. Do you feel like it's your mission to shine a light on some of these obscure gems?
Yeah, in my own little way. I mean, I do know some musicians who are more historically faithful than I am. And I used to be one of those people. I used to try to learn a Blind Blake finger-picking ragtime song note for note, and it's not easy. So there's something to be said for that, and I appreciate that. But for me, the process has to be connecting with something emotionally and then drawing out certain aspects or singing it from a place that feels real to me rather than me trying to completely emulate somebody else.
Can you tell the story about how you came across Three Ravens? Because that's a good one.
Okay, so I was living in Oxford, Mississippi, And I came across this book at a library sale. I think they were getting rid of, actually, it might have been for free or for a dollar or something, but they were getting rid of a beautiful first edition of Carl Sandburg's American Song Bag from, I think, 1942. Really beautiful book. And I'm flipping through the thing, and there's a little index card in there with this beautiful calligraphy on it, and it said, "If found, please return to ... John Hartford," and had his address in Tennessee, somewhere outside of Nashville. I think he was living. I thought, no, that can't be the John Hartford. And then I started reading about him, and of course he was known for his calligraphy. That was a big part of it. I don't know why it wound up in the Oxford, Mississippi Public Library. But it did. And Carl Sandburg had collected some folk songs, and including one called Three Ravens.
We'll go out with Drinking of the Wine, which is a spiritual, and the version you like has a link back to Fisherman again, right?
That's right. There's a lot of versions of this, including one by Bascom Lamar Lunsford, a North Carolinian, but I think I first heard this song as a field recording from Virginia of a group of Menhaden shantymen off the coast of Virginia. Singing this as a work song accompanying, you know, net hauling. So they were on these boats where they would haul in, you know, a big net fulls of menhaden.
Drinking of the wine, 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 drinking of the wine, the holy wine, you ought to have been there 10,000 years.
Jake Fussell's new record is called Out of Sight. It's out now. You can hear more of Jake's songs at WUNCmusic.org and on 91.5 HD2. Jake, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Drink it, sister. Drink it free, it flows from the root of the tender tree, and you ought to been there 10,000 years drinking of the wine. Years drinking of the